You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Richard Hake in for Leonard Lopate. Independence Day is just around the corner, and that gives us an excuse to talk about food, but not just about hamburgers, hot dogs, and potato salad. So who better to join us but renowned chef, author, restaurateur, and TV personality Lydia Bastianich. She also has a new TV special, Lydia Celebrates America, Freedom, and Independence, where she travels across the country with some celebrity guests like chef Jacques Pepin, soprano Renee Fleming, and actress Anna Deavere Smith to learn about some of the ways in which all Americans celebrate their independence, not necessarily independence, though, from Great Britain on July 4th. It premieres tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern Time on PBS, and I'm pleased it brings Lydia Bastianich back to The Leonard Lopate Show. Hi.
Hi, Richard. Buongiorno.
First of all, congratulations. Last week, you won the Daytime Emmy for Outstanding Culinary Host on your show, Lydia Is Italy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's great. I feel so good about it. My whole team, you know, we work so hard, so it's great.
Now, talk about the show that is premiering on PBS. This is called Lydia Celebrates America. Talk about what this was like to produce this.
It was wonderful. You know, Richard, I have my cook show, and in doing that, my last episodes were Lydia's Italy in America. So my last book, my last 52 cooking episodes were based on me going around America and looking out for the Italian immigrations, where they came in, the legacy that remained, and how it kind of infiltrated Americans' way of life. And in doing that, because of course the Italians are sprinkled all over, there's not a place in America that they're not, but it made me aware of how diversified really America is, how many different ethnic cultural packets are there. And, you know, talking to WGBH up in Boston, we already did two of these specials on kind of ethnicity, but it said independence. You know, I'm an immigrant. I know the value of independence and the welcome of being coming to America and given the opportunity to become American. So I said, it's 4th of July. Let's celebrate America. It's my kind of being grateful for being given this opportunity. And then within that context, celebrating America and the 4th of July, I have three different ethnicities in there sort of celebrating their own independence within this greater whole.
And what's great about it, what struck me, is it's not necessarily the food is not really the star of the show. It's about the culture and it's about the people and the immigrant experience.
Yeah, Richard, it is. But, you know, I get into everybody's kind of kitchen, if you will, or into home with food. And food is a big part. But it is, you know, I went up to Jacques Pepin, you know, Jacques, my dear friend, and he does a Bastille party every year, celebrates the independence. I don't know how much the independence of in France means to him at this point, but food does. And so we had a great time, and we played patanki, bocce, and all of that. So that was one ethnicity that sort of really, within America, being American, he's America, he loves, you know, America as I do. But yet, you know, he celebrates Bastille Day.
And I want to make those warm clams with the pesto on it.
Oh, they're easy to make. And you know what was good about that? And they'll see it in the show. It's kind of the cold and the warm of the clams. Usually, you know, clam cocktail cold, but this is warm.
Now, you've said to Leonard Lopate here before that Italian cuisine isn't all the same as Italian-American cuisine. Is that the same of French and French-American food?
I would say so. You know, I don't know all about as much about, but yes, you know, Italian American food is that, and that's what I was researching. Is a whole new genre of Italian food, and it is the food of adaptation of the immigrants coming to America, finding new products, not having the products that they had in Italy, and developing this cuisine. I mean, if you go back to Italy and eat in Italy, it's different than the Italian food that you sometimes have here. Italy is all about regionality, and really it reflects the topography and the climate of each region. So there is a big difference, yes.
And there's another cuisine that maybe more people are not as familiar with that you kind of showcase place in the show, and that's, of course, through the Philippine Independence Day.
Yeah, you know, I went to Alex Mapa, my
the
friend.
Comedian, right?
Yeah, now we're great friends. And he was so excited about, you know, his culture. And we went to the Philippine Independence Parade, had a great fun. Then we went to New Jersey to the Filipino, the big Filipino shopping enclave, and we shopped and we cooked in his friend's house. And, you know, I mean, the Philippines actually celebrate their independence from America, if you will. You know, that's what they're celebrating, and they're celebrating here in America. But it really is kind of a cultural pride of who you are. And we had a great, great fun with them, you know. And I kind of, the food was quite different, Richard. It really was, you know, because I guess the Philippines were occupied by, so it was kind of Spanish. It was kind of
it was like ceviche. That's
a
like,
lot of ceviche, yeah. They do and adobo, and then there was, they use frankfurters and meatloaf, and they had a banana ketchup. So it was kind of interesting to get into that food.
And you actually said something about the ketchup when someone told you about ketchup on spaghetti in the show.
Oh my God! I said that's sacrilegious. I actually said that. I said no.
You also traveled to Galveston, Texas, and this was very moving when I watched the special.
It was. I wasn't expecting it. I went with my dear friend Ann DeVere Smith, and she really took me into the culture. Now, Juneteenth is the celebration of the emancipation, sort of the slaves, the Emancipation Proclamation, which came to Galveston only 2 years after it was signed in Washington, and they received it on June 19th. So till this day, they celebrate their independence sort of from slavery on June 19th. And they called it Juneteenth. And it was meaningful and very moving because it's still very much felt in you know, this being an immigrant and coming to America, is, you know, as I was accepted here. But to have to fight your way to independence, you know, to freedom, which they felt, That was the difference in this independence.
What was amazing was that, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed and it didn't get there until 2 years later. And you would think that maybe some of the plantation owners maybe didn't tell them.
Most likely. That's what they feel. But what it's wonderful to see how proud and how the celebration is still vivid. You know, they still march from the church to the city hall. The songs, the carrying of the flags, the pride still.
And you got to cook with a local food icon.
Oh, yes.
Dr. BBQ.
Dr. BBQ, he was adorable. He made some mean barbecue. And you know what I really loved? So he got me into seasoning the meats. And I said, okay, I'll season the chicken. No, he says, that's the courtyard bird. That's no chicken. And it was funny because, you know, in Italian, we called animali di cortile, which the animals from the courtyard. So it's, you know, uh-huh. It kind of translates on how we address the chicken.
And you also visited Thomas Jefferson's home in Monticello, where they have a very moving celebration each July 4th.
Well, Richard, every year, you know, they have the actual swearing in of immigrants, about 40 of them, and giving them their citizenship there. And what's amazing is because, of course, Thomas Jefferson represents kind of the father of the nation, the wonderful garden that he has there. You know, I mean, he has...
And he brought it from France, right?
From all over. All over. France, Italy, vines, everything. He had this vision, you know, so much foresight. And there's so much diversity in the garden. It's beautiful. And I even cooked in his kitchen. Can you imagine?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was thrilled.
Did seeing the naturalization ceremony there remind you of when you became an American?
Absolutely. It just gave me the chills. Because, you know, I come from a part of Italy, Istria, that it's now Croatia. I was born there. It was Italy. And
that's like right across the Adriatic Sea, right?
Right. It's a little peninsula. It's 1 hour boat ride from Venice, right across. And after World War II, Italy lost the war. That part was ceded to the newly formed communist Yugoslavia. And we were caught behind the Iron Curtain. And ultimately, you know, I was just born at that period. when I was about 10, my parents decided that we needed to move on for me to have, you know, me and my brother to have a decent life, and literally escaped back into Italy, stayed in a refugee camp in Italy for 2 years, and ultimately Dwight Eisenhower was the president. He opened the immigration for people fleeing communism, and we were one of the first family to come here.
And your father, though, in those 2 years, was still back.
My mother, my brother, myself went because they didn't allow the whole family. He, after 2 weeks, he escaped. He joined us after 2 weeks, and then we stayed the 2 years in camp together. And so I can really relate, you know, coming to America, given the opportunity. And I recall...
How old were you at the time?
I was 12.
Wow.
And, you know, you could get your citizenship when you were 18. And I think that maybe... mine was in April. I was born in February. So as soon as I could, I couldn't wait to become a citizen, to belong to a country.
And did you settle here in New York?
Yes, yes. So when they see the special and they see how much those immigrants long to have their citizenship so they can vote, I can really relate to that. I really related to that.
And then, so what did your family bring here, like as far as cuisine here when you settled in Queens?
Well, let me tell you, it was when we first came, you know, I was intrigued by Jell-O, by Twinkies, by, you know, those little Drake cupcakes. They were the chocolate cup. I loved them all. You know, and they had the white filling in there, that kind of all fatty filling. Of course, all of that was news to me. So, but at home, it remained as culturally true as possible. We cooked the soups, the pasta fagiolis, the pastas, the risotto, even though we couldn't find a lot of time the authentic ingredients. Like for a good risotto, you need a short grain rice like arborio or canaroli. And there weren't any imported. And we used the long grain rice. And my father would always, he loved risotto, but he never was quite gratified because it wasn't the perfect risotto. But now, of course, all of those ingredients are coming in, so it's easy to make the authentic cuisine.
And as far as growing up there in Europe, since you were able to take cuisine from other regions as well?
Well, you know, the beauty of Italy, as I said, Italy has 20 regions. And so, you know, there's a lot of border and there's a lot of cross-occupation, and the cuisine reflects that. And in the area that I come from, northeast, yes, there's to the north is Austria, then there's the Slavic influence to the east. So yeah, I can cook with sauerkraut and I make spetzels and noodles, all of that very easily alongside with my spaghetti, garlic, and oil.
Well, you know, it was just so charming, I found, to watch your special and see you cooking other food besides Italian food.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's my specialty. But I'm so, you know, I get to know we each have our own way of investigating and finding things out. Mine is through food. So for me to understand a culture or a people, if I can sit down at the table with them, if I can be in the kitchen with them, I get it.
And, you know, you're traveling around in the special. Have you traveled back to the town in what is now Croatia that you were born in?
I go there regularly.
Oh, yeah?
Because now Croatia is independent, democratic, so one can go back. And my grandmother's house, the little house that I remember, was still there. And I kind of just painted it up, but I left it because it's such a memory. That courtyard has such memories for me. You know, because when I left my grandmother, I didn't say goodbye. I didn't know I wasn't going to come back and all of that. So I cherished that little courtyard.
Now, you've made some guest appearances on a number of popular television shows lately. Recently, the Dr. Oz shows, The Chew. Last week, though, you appeared both as a celebrity guest and a celebrity mom on MasterChef. And, of course, we're talking about your son, Joe Bastianich, who's on that program.
Yes.
What was it like to be on his show?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, I like it. You know, it's...
You were nice to the contestants, though.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't be like those boys. I just couldn't. I always tell him, I says, can't you be a little nicer? But I guess the dynamic of the show has to be that.
How much of that is for the cameras, though?
I think most of it. Although it seems that Joe has gotten into it.
Has he ever been as harsh on your cooking?
No.
Oh, I wouldn't think
no,
so.
No.
Well, you and Joe, along with Chef Mario Batali, are partners in the B&B Hospitality Group, the force behind many of your restaurants. restaurants. Mm-hmm. And not so long ago, you were here on the Leonard Lopate Show discussing Lydia's favorite recipes, the cookbook that you wrote with your daughter, Tanya. How did your business turn into a whole family undertaking here?
You know, as Italians, family is very important. And I was able to do what I did because of my family support, my mother, my father, raising the children and so on. And so in everything that we did, our first restaurant, the work, the children were involved. They were part of, you know, they did their homework in the restaurant. Sometimes the holidays, you know, we ate at the restaurants. Then they went home with grandma and I remained to work. My husband and I remained to work. So they were really into it. And, you know, but education for me being very important. I said, you know, when I saw that they were growing up teenagers and kind of liked the restaurant energy, I said, this is not what you're going to do. You're in America. You're going to get your education, and you're going to get a real American job. And they did. He went to Wall Street. She ultimately got her PhD in Renaissance art history. And somehow, you know, it was in their blood. They both came back with their own strengths, and we both worked together. Joe, business, a great mind. Tanya, academic research, does the book. We co-authored the book together, do the television research and editing. So it's working with the family. It's great. It's not easy all the time, but it's great.
How often do you all get together as a family and cook a meal together today, these days?
Oh, we get often. As much as we can. Sundays, you know, and the kids are very important. And, you know, there's one thing that we made it clear, especially when the kids and everybody, we don't talk business.
Oh, that's good. But you do talk food.
Food, eat and drink, absolutely. Wine, we talk. We discuss it all.
You said that food is part of the shared history that brings families and peoples together. Involving your family in this business kind of help retain your food trademark?
I think it has helped make it, because they have their own identity. But certainly, I felt very rewarded when my children chose the profession that I was doing as their profession. It sort of validated, because, you know, along as I was raising them, always the question was, am I giving them enough time? Should I be doing other things with them? You know, because the restaurant business is such a consuming business. It takes the time. So along the way, you know, all the time, is it the right choice? And ultimately, you know, I see that it was the right choice. And maybe it was the right choice because I loved what I was doing and I am doing. And I think the children got that, and they became part of it and sort of assimilated it.
Because sometimes it's difficult for families to, you know, work together.
It is, and it's still, you know, you need to each know your place. But I think as a mother, certainly, at least in my case, you know, children grow up to be adults, and I think that they brought many great ideas to the business and have grown it in many different ways that I by myself couldn't have, you know, just different kind of energy, just this mere technology of what's happening and all of that, the social media and all of that. They're into all of that, and it's, you know, it's theirs for the taking. And if there is growth in our company, is usually what they feel comfortable in growing now. It's not about so much as me growing. You know, I'm at the basis. I love doing, like even the special. My daughter had a lot to do with it. So it's seeing where they want to go and kind of go there together.
I have to say, the special, it was even shot beautifully. You know, the pictures of Monticello and all the places that you visited.
We have a great team. You know, for me, that's important. I think, you know, in being Lydia, and I feel a great responsibility with that name, to deliver quality, be it on the plate, be it in the books, be it in the shows. And it's I really owe it to my viewers and customers. If they come to my restaurant, spend their money, if they buy my books, if they spend time watching me, then I better deliver the best I can.
And do you cook for the 4th of July?
Yeah.
What recipes?
Oh, I mean, we're going to grill, you know. We're going to grill the usual. I think I'm going to Italianize.
Uh-huh.
You know, my hamburger is going to have a little bit of balsamic in there, balsamic vinegar, and a little bit of cheese. Actually, if you listeners go on my website, lydiasitaly.com, the recipe, they can find the recipe. I do a mean London broil, mm-hmm. marinated with
garlic.
Lots of garlic, rosemary, dried tomatoes, a little balsamic vinegar. So I add a little bit of Italian flavor to my grill.
I've been speaking with Lydia Bastianich about her latest one-hour special for PBS, Lydia Celebrates America, Freedom and Independence. It airs tonight at 10 o'clock. Lydia, thank you so much for joining us today, and happy 4th of July.
Thanks, Richard.